Hi, I'm Roy Spencer of PermaSeal. For over 45 years, we've helped over 500,000 homeowners make their homes drier, healthier, and more valuable. Our warranties are transferable and estimates are free. Call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
Collegiately speaking.
Walks into the end zone.
Punches to the end zone.
This is Collegiately Speaking. With the voice of Northwestern football and basketball, Dave Enning, and former Northwestern star quarterback, Dan Persa, is Collegially Speaking. Let's go.
Are we really already halfway through the college football season? It goes so quickly. Welcome to Collegiately Speaking, Dave Enning, with former Northwestern quarterback Dan Persa, with you every week. The weeks have flown by. It always seems to do that, doesn't it?
It's crazy. It's crazy. But now you're in the thick of the Big Ten season, which is great, and we're finding out that Northwestern is continuing to improve, and like last year, you don't really know where they're going to end up, which is exciting.
You know, we've seen improvement, right? And you saw it certainly against Indiana, even though they ultimately didn't win that game. It was a lot better than the previous game, and then you look at the performance against Maryland, and they played even better. Granted, Maryland, I don't think, is as good a team as Indiana is. Indiana's 6-0 going into the weekend and ranked in the top 20. But still, I mean, that's to go on the road in the Big Ten, win a game decisively, that's a big step.
It's a big deal, yeah. And Maryland, you know, they moved the ball. They did well, but it was a bend-don't-break defense, and the defense played out of their minds in the second half specifically. So, yeah, a lot of improvement. The offense played pretty well. Didn't get a ton of opportunity in the second half just because, you know, whether it was three and outs or short fields, they just didn't really need to do much, which is always a good problem. But, you know, at the end of the day, Jack Lausch continues to improve. The running game needs to get going a little bit more, especially as it gets colder. But I think they're excited. They're playing well, and it just makes it so fun about Northwestern and college football in general, is just how different these teams are from week one to week six to week 10. And it makes it exciting.
Yeah, if you go back to the Washington game, and certainly that game had all kinds of red flags in it. And yeah, I think we came away from that sort of wondering, well, how am I going to get this turned around, get the offense where it needs to be, when you saw some things happening that were kind of uncharacteristic. And then you look at what Bryce Kurtz in particular has done among the receivers, not just him, but the game he had at Maryland Friday night, three catches, 123 yards, a 55-yarder, 40-yarder, A.J. Henning catching balls of 40 yards. I mean, suddenly they got this downfield passing attack, which really was a tough matchup for Maryland.
Which is great to see, and I think that and turnovers can really turn games, right? You know, big plays like that, 40, 50-yard gains just make such a big difference in games and field position and the ability to score. So, yeah, it's huge to see that improvement. I think again, with college football, there's such a human element to it and a confidence element to everything. Whereas these kids get more confident as they're playing better, as the timing gets better, you know, they continue to take off, which I think they're a confident group now. They're playing together. They're playing complementary football. I think, you know, Coach Braun talked about it in his press conference. It's really the first time in a game this year that they put together all three phases firing on all cylinders. So, you know, this week against Wisconsin, it'll be fun to watch. You know, it's Wisconsin's playing probably as hot as any team in the Big Ten the last couple of games, but it's going to be a great matchup.
We're going to visit in a moment with a former Wildcat, Joe Spivak. Everybody remembers Joe, a lot of personality, now trying his hand as a professional wrestler. He'll join us here in a few moments. But I want to go back to the offense and Jack Lausch, and you've kind of been plotting his progress each game. And it seemed to me, even though he threw a couple touchdown passes at the previous game, this game seemed like better all-around performance than we've seen from Jack up to now, even though maybe he didn't hit career highs in completions, attempts, yards as he did the week before.
Yeah, I just think he's playing a lot more efficient, right? The Indiana game, he had to do a little bit more, especially late in the game with throws, and I think that kind of hurt his completion percentage and some other things. But, you know, he's just being efficient with his decisions. He's getting the ball out of his hands for the most part. He's not making big, you know, catastrophic mistakes that hurt the team. To your earlier point, he's really taken a step forward in his downfield passing game, which really hadn't been there previously. And you have big play guys with Bryce and AJ there. So I think, you know, he continues to play well. He's decisive with his feet, right? He had that touchdown run and a couple big first down pickups, right? When he didn't see anything, got out of the pocket, and made some plays with his feet. I mean, there's still some things to improve on, right? You know, a couple times where he probably bailed out of the pocket too early, but you know, you'd rather that than throw an interception or take a sack. So I think he's going to continue to improve. He's a young guy. He's a good guy. And the guys love him, right? He's a great, you can see him on the sideline after he's coming off, whether it's a three and out or anything else. He's talking to the offensive lineman. He's talking to the coaches, very animated leader. And I think that's what you need at that position. And I think that frankly, the defense feeds off that as well. They see the offense making big plays. And I think you saw, Theron Johnson, you know, celebrating after a couple of the big throws, that just makes everybody play better. You like to say everything's siloed and different units are completely separate, but they're not. They all play off momentum. So I think for him to take that step forward in the downfield passing game really helps.
Shouldn't the success of this downfield passing game open up some opportunities to get the running game going?
You would think. Northwestern's had a couple injuries on the offense, and I think, you know, they've, in my opinion, tried to go a little bit too much side to side, right, instead of a little bit more downhill, which frankly helps out the offensive lineman a little bit more. So I want to see him get back to that, but I think, you know, having Cam at full strength and the two other guys playing well, it should open things up. One other thing that I want to see a little bit more of is just kind of the play action boot game, getting Jack on the edge, right? Which will open up the run game and just giving him a little bit more option. You know, he's been effective from the pocket, but again, you don't want to stray away from his strengths, which are running, getting on the edge, running, throwing on the run. And that the play action game really starts to open things up. So hopefully they can do more of that as the season progresses.
You mentioned complementary football, and we've talked offense and the defense there, and Johnson, three more pass breakups, back-to-back games. How about Damon Walters, a fumble recovery and an interception?
Yep.
And the first return on an interception the Wildcats have had this year. Their others have been for zero yardage. And he's the first Northwestern freshman ever to do that, to have a fumble recovery and an interception in the same game. Defense really looks good. A lot of pressure. I mean, you saw the defense with a scoop and score. Carmine Bastone, who's been out, gets in.
Yeah, welcome back.
Yeah, hits the quarterback, a strip sack. Aiden Hubbard scores the touchdown. But Luke Akers, I mean, this was something that I talked to David Braun after the game, and he said, I have never seen that. And it's, I mean, he gets called on to handle place kicking along with punting, which he said he did in high school. Okay, but it's a little bit
different. Yeah.
He punted eight times in the game. He had two that were 50 plus, the longest punt of his career, 58 yards. He kicks his first three field goals right through. He'd never attempted a field goal in college, made all his point after touchdowns, and his kickoffs hit he had five punts. He had eight kickoffs, and five of them were touchbacks.
I mean, he's an impressive guy, right? You look at him, and he's physically imposing, you know, very in shape, and obviously, you know, takes place kicking after his dad. But, I was shocked, to your point, how well he did at each phase. And those 45-yard field goals, they were blast. They had another 10 yards to go. Yep. For those weren't close misses. Those were blasts. Right. And I think, you know, to be able to punt like that, you know, you don't want to use a punter as a weapon, but in Big Ten play, they're a weapon. You have to maintain field position. Look at Iowa, right? That's been them for however long. The touchback is like just not letting the other team start, you know, plus 25, 30. You know, when you look at the stats, that's a really much more big of a deal than people think, right? The percentages from when you start at like the 20 to 25 versus the 35, 40, They jump from like, you know, 20% to score to like 40. So it's a big deal to get a touchback. So I think he's going to continue to be a huge weapon in that third phase.
Well, it was quite a performance this week, a different kind of a challenge against the Wisconsin Badgers, who have heated up. And if you look at who they lost to, I mean, they lost to Alabama and lost at USC. And the last 2 weeks against Purdue and Rutgers, they have outscored their opponents 94-13, and they've got that familiar Wisconsin running game going again.
It's a solid team, and you knew Coach Fickell would get it going, right? There's been some bumps in the road and some offensive and defensive adjustments from personnel standpoint, but they're still Wisconsin. You know, Coach Fickell's a great coach. He knows what he's doing, and they're gonna, like Northwestern, gonna continue to improve. I think this is a big game for both teams, certainly for Northwestern to kind of keep pace with their bowl eligibility. But I think it's going to be a tight game like everything else. I think the spread's 7. So, you know, last game on the lakefront will be exciting. Packed house, perfect day. You know, I think the defense, you know, playing the old, you know, Mike Hankowitz, Ben Don't Break is continuing to work, getting turnovers, winning the battle 4-0. You know, you're going to have to do that in the Big Ten to win these games, especially with teams against Wisconsin. I think one thing that worked against Maryland, right, is they didn't have they have good, Hemby's a great running back, they didn't have a great running game. And that hurts your kind of red zone percentages. Wisconsin doesn't have that problem, right? So I think once they get down there, you can't let them get down there and be able to run, you know, 3-4 yards a clip, because they're going to end up scoring. So yeah. I think being able to, I think Northwestern is the second or third best run defense in the conference. So continuing that will be important.
Well, something a little different this week, Dan. We're going to visit with a former Wildcat who is now a professional athlete, but as the NCAA likes to say, in something other than his sport. He wore the coveted number one jersey at Northwestern. He's now known to wrestling fans as Tank Ledger, the pride of Montini Catholic, Joe Spivak. Joe, how are you?
What's going on, guys? Happy Wednesday. Hump day, baby.
How you been?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. We were just catching up a little bit. Hank and Tank had their official merch drop last night. And all wrestling or Wildcat or even Bronco fans can go get their Hank and Tank shirts on WWE Shop. You know, I got to put a little plug in there at the start of the episode.
That's fine. That's fair enough. All right. So, so Joe, I mentioned Tank Ledger. But for those who aren't familiar, give our listeners an idea of what you're up to now. What are you doing now?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I will start by saying it's funny to make the transition out of, you know, the Kellogg Northwestern School of Management and be telling your professors, oh, I'm going to work with the WWE. And they're like, oh, so like the corporate side, that must be great. What are you going to do? And oh, no, like I'm going to be in the ring. And the look you get from your Northwestern professors is it's hysterical. But I will say I've been down here in Orlando, Florida for about 2.5 years. And, I'm just having so much fun growing as a professional and as an entertainer. I'm down here working with WWE full time. A lot of people are familiar with, you know, WWE Monday Night Raw and Friday Night SmackDown. Our third brand with the WWE is Tuesday Night's NXT, now on the CW. So I work full time as a professional wrestler, a sports entertainer, under the ring name Tank Ledger. I get to do some professional speaking on the side and hop on calls with guys like you, Dave. So I'm living the good life. Everyone says they're living the dream, but dude, to be honest, I think I'm kind of winning. I think I really am.
Well, by the way, CW is part of our company, Nextar Media Group. So yes, I guess we are sort of fellow employees, more or less. Here.
We're playing for the same team, baby. That's what we're doing.
That's right. We always have been, right? And and so now you were just in Chicago, right, for wrestling?
Yeah, that's correct. So we just made the jump to the CW. We used to be with USA, but 2 weeks ago on October 1st, we were in Chicago and actually kicked off on the new network on CW from the Allstate Arena. And it was a hoot. I was on air with WGN, had a little time with Jarrett, so that was great before the show. But then me and Hank actually kicked off the show at the Allstate Arena and had a lot of fun, had a lot of old fans, had a lot of old friends there. Coach Spanos, you could hear from the rafters, he was in attendance. So it was a really great little homecoming trip and got to see a lot of fans.
Okay, for those who aren't sure, who's Hank?
Hank's my other half, man. Hank Hank and Tank, Tank and Hank, whatever you want to call it. Hank is my tag team partner. We are a blue-collar tag team in NXT. We've been called the Belly Boys of NXT, and we're a lot of fun in the ring, but probably a little bit more fun out of the ring.
All right, so let me ask you this. You've been a football player. Now you're a professional wrestler. Who's tougher, football players or wrestlers?
Or
football players who become...
You said you wouldn't bring this up, damn it.
Football players who become wrestlers. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good thing. You get the best of both worlds with me. But I will say this. I've said this since I was a high school athlete. I've always hated. I never like when people compare sports because I just think it's incredible that every single sport has something that is basically impossible for other people to do. You look at... The thought of even hitting a pitch, a little league pitch for me, is absolutely incomprehensible. You can go down the list of everything. And just like football, baseball, basketball, wrestling, swimming, whatever it may be, professional wrestling has its own set of skills and requirements that are just unfathomable. I have had so much fun learning about them and also so much pain learning about them because there's just something new every day that I'm trying to wrap my head around.
All right, well, let's talk football. You played in two Big Ten championship games with the Wildcats. You played in bowl games. You were awarded the number one jersey. What stands out? What's the fondest memory you have from your years as a Wildcat?
Gosh, that's a hard question to ask. You know, I think anyone who's been in a locker room, be it football or any sport, ends up saying this, but my fondest memories have as much fun as they were, have nothing to do with the Big Ten championships or any of our bowl games. It has everything to do with being in that locker room with those guys exhausted after a Tuesday practice or fired up after a Saturday practice in spring ball because we knew we got to go hang out and just hang out for the rest of the weekend. Just those moments in the locker room, the day-to-day grind, finishing up a Monday workout in the winter and walking up to breakfast with the guys. I think about, I'm sorry, now you got me rambling, Dave. You've opened the floodgate, but I think about driving in for winter workouts at about 4:30 in the morning with Blake Gallagher by my side. I do not endorse this. This was not safe by any means, but we were tired and grumpy getting up at 4:30 in the morning, and obviously my windshield had been frosted, so I'd cut a little square with my ice scraper. I wouldn't even take time to scrape the whole thing, and I'd be driving 2 inches from the windshield of my little blue Nissan Juke with Blake blaring metal music next to me just on our way in, the only ones on the road. And, like, those are the moments that I think about that just you can't take from me. You couldn't take them for $1 million.
Yeah, but we don't condone driving like
do
that. I just want to make that clear.
Scrape your whole windshield. I moved to Florida. I don't have to scrape any windshield, but please scrape your whole windshield.
There you go. All right, so how much have you been able to watch of this year's Wildcats? Were you able to catch the Friday night game in Maryland? And what are your thoughts about what you have seen from this team so far?
You know, I'll say this. I have not watched as much Cats as I would have liked. We travel a lot for shows on Saturdays, but I've kept up as best I could. And I really, really liked what I saw this past week and probably the game I watched the most of, because it seems like we're kind of gaining some confidence on both offense and defense at the right time. I don't mind some growing pains in the beginning of the year, because it's the beginning of the year. Everyone's figuring it out. We're kind of finding where we fall in that bell curve and playing towards the top of it. I really liked this past weekend. Obviously, I was going nuts for my man, the big Ragu, Carmen Bastone, my former little brother. He's my big brother now. He's big as could be, looking fantastic, making that big play last week. But I really like what the defense is doing.
Yeah, they've played really well. But I thought this past week, as Dan and I have discussed, this was the best game in terms of really all phases of the game.
Yeah.
Because the defense played well. The offense was clicking, throwing the ball downfield, the best downfield passing attack that this team has had in a while. And then on top of that, you got a guy who's punting, kicking field goals, kicking off into the end zone, one guy doing all that, and a good return game. You kind of put all those pieces together, and you start to see that some of the growing pains, maybe they're starting to come out of.
Yeah, maybe it was worth it. Those growing pains are worth it. It's crazy when you play full three phases of football, which you can do. And I think as this year is going along, we thought the parity of college football was great last year. And now you look at all the number one teams losing these past 2 weekends, and it's like, holy cow, like the parity is even better this year. Like, it's really anyone's game. And I'm getting more excited, I feel like, for college football as a whole every weekend, because as we're showing, everybody's got scholarships. No team is just going to roll their football helmets out there. Everybody's coming to win, and this really seems like a year where anybody can win, including the Cavs. So I'm loving it. I think you guys are too.
Yeah, absolutely. Is it strange for you, as someone who played in the Big Ten, to look at this conference now and look at some of these matchups and see that you've got Oregon coming in to play Purdue this weekend, and seeing UCLA at Rutgers, and USC playing Maryland's homecoming game this weekend?
You know, my dad, before the call, you heard my dad's in town right now. He might burst through the door and take me out for saying this, but I'm kind of loving it. I thought I was going to, you know, and they said, okay, UCLA and Oregon, Washington come into the Big Ten. Like, those aren't Big Ten schools. We got to protect what I grew up watching. But then I see a game like Oregon, Ohio State, just a fantastic game this past weekend. And I can, you know, a past Joe would have seen the Buckeyes lose and been heartbroken. I'm like, damn, come on. What are we doing, Big Ten? We got to win that. But then I see it, and I'm like, wait, that's just a good Big Ten matchup now. And I kind of found myself chuckling, like, all right, win-win. Let's go. Oregon's on our side now, too, because I'm always rooting for the Big Ten. And if it makes us more competitive in the college football playoff landscape, as long as we don't cannibalize out, like, it excites me. I was totally thinking about that this past weekend after the Buckeyes game.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think especially the games we saw this weekend, whether it was USC Penn State or even that the finish of that Minnesota UCLA game late Saturday night, it ended up being an exciting finish, and certainly Ohio State and Oregon is one to remember. What's next on your agenda, Joe? I have to let you go because you have to get in the ring here, right?
We got to get in the ring. We're getting in the ring. We got a little bit of a wrestling practice with Hank and Tank in about 20 minutes. We'll get warming up. But I'll tell you what, we're selling shirts, we're shipping them out, we're signing them if you want us to, and just gearing up to end the year in a really strong way. We love football season, definitely want to finish this year in a strong way. We have some very exciting premium live events coming up with NXT across the country that Hank and Tank really want to cement themselves as the number one contenders for the tag team championships. It's a ton of fun. I'm loving what I'm doing down here because I got a great partner by my side, and we just live to connect with the crowd. I think you know from my time at Northwestern that I love playing ball, but I loved the experience. I loved the fans. I loved being able to talk and connect with people, and having a job, if we really want to call it that, but having a job that I do right now where I get to, you know, talk to a kid yesterday on his birthday at his first time at a wrestling show, like, that's what it's all about for me. So all that's on the horizon is just more opportunities to connect with people in the wrestling ring, over on the side of the football field, and anywhere I can, including on an interview with Dave Enidy.
Well, listen, as far as talking to a kid on his birthday, I guess you could say the same about me, because I'm talking to you on what I understand is your birthday, right?
Hey, we're clicking right now. I didn't even draw it up like that, but we are clicking. It is. I'm 26 today and feeling young and spry. I'm going to go kick some tail in this wrestling ring.
You know, I just wish, Joe, that you would come out of your shell a little bit, be a little more outgoing.
Yeah, one day. We'll see. I don't know. I don't know about this.
Hey, listen, Tank, Joe, great catching up with you. Continued success in NXT and on the CW, and hopefully you'll get a chance to come back to either Northwestern Medicine Field or Wrigley Field or the new Ryan Field in a couple of years, and we'll catch up with you in person.
Yeah, hopefully all three. Also, tell Dan he's not off the hook for today. This is messed up. I thought Purcell was going to be here. He doesn't want to talk to me. I'm taking it personally. That's all I'm saying. I'll be back.
No, he's here. He's just listening and enjoying it.
Good
hey,
for him.
Joe, thanks for the time. Good luck to you, and appreciate you joining us today. Take care.
Thank you so much, Dave. See ya.
Great to hear from Joe. Always a guy with a lot of enthusiasm and energy. And speaking of guys with a lot of enthusiasm and energy, it's time for Super Joe's Predictions of the Week.
Prediction, to say or estimate a specified thing will happen in the future.
Super Joe's Predictions.
Well, here we are, back in the same spot we were just a few weeks ago. Awfully tough to cover a number like 15 and a half when you go into overtime, but let's not dwell on it. There are some really fun storylines in college football right now. Did you know that Army and Navy are both ranked in the AP Top 25 for the first time since 1960? You know it's a long time when you consider busting out a calculator to figure out how long ago that was. It was 64, by the way. Wait, hold on. Carry the 9. Yeah, 64. Another fun story is the names at the top of the list for the odds to win the Heisman Trophy. Oregon quarterback Dylan Gabriel is ranked second after the Ducks' big win over Ohio State on Saturday. But he's sandwiched between two non-quarterbacks. Boise State running back Ashton Jeanty is the favorite, averaging just under 10 yards per carry. This guy already has 1,300 yards rushing and 17 touchdowns. Yo! After Gabriel, you'll find Travis Hunter, the two-way star out of Colorado. Hunter is playing basically every snap for the Buffaloes. He's got 50 catches for 600 yards and 6 touchdowns. Those stats fall short of the nation's leading receivers, but none of those other players also have 3 pass breakups, 2 interceptions, and a forced fumble on defense. After leaving last week's game with a shoulder injury, Hunter's status is up in the air for Saturday's game in Tucson against Arizona at 3 o'clock on Fox. Meanwhile, Arizona has a star receiver of their own in Teteroa McMillan. The Hawaii native averages almost 20 yards a catch. Assuming Hunter returns, this matchup could be a preview of something we'll see on Sundays for years to come. I think Hunter does come back and helps Colorado cover the 3.5 we're getting from the books. Let's go, Buffs!
All right, no doubt Joe's nailed them once again this week. Never lets us down.
Yeah.
That's going to do it for this edition of Collegiately Speaking. Saturday, an early game for the first time this year. The Badgers and the Wildcats from Northwestern Medicine Field at Martin Stadium kick off 11 a.m. It's supposed to be a beautiful day on Saturday. And, Dan, thanks. This was fun. We'll do it again next week.
It's always a great time. Thanks, Dave.
All right. Hope you'll join us Saturday, 10:30 Central Time, for our pregame show from Evanston, the Cats and the Badgers. Many thanks to Joe Spivak for joining us. Thanks to our producer, Jack Heinrich, and Super Joe Romano for his predictions. Now for Dan Persa, this is Dave Ennett. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time.